I'd like to start by reading you a story that the Lord Jesus Christ told while he was here on earth. And to do that, we'll turn to Luke chapter 14. So if you've got a Bible with you, Luke chapter 14. And we'll read verses 16 to 24. So again, this is a story that the Lord Jesus Christ told while he was here on earth. Luke chapter 14, verse 16, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade or invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've bought five yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word. So what we've got in this story that the Lord Jesus Christ told is a story of a man who held a great feast. And when this man had got the feast ready, he sent out many invitations and invited people to come to his feast. And so the man's servant went out to tell these people that were invited that the feast was ready. And we see that all of the people that were invited began to make excuses of why they couldn't come. And this made the man who was holding the feast very angry. And I think the takeaway from this story for me when I read it is that the excuses that were made were very poor excuses. We hear of somebody who bought a piece of land and they said that they couldn't go because they had to go and look at this land. And I'm sure if this person wanted to go to the feast, they could have gone and looked at their land tomorrow and made their way to the feast. We read of somebody who bought 10 oxen and said he couldn't go because he had to go and train them. And again, I think he could have gone and trained his oxen the next day and made his way to the feast. And we also see of a man who couldn't come because he'd married a wife. And I'm sure the man holding this great feast was a very reasonable person and would have let this other man's wife come along as well. So we see excuses made for this feast that ultimately were not very good excuses. And for these people who were invited and made excuses, the outcome for them was that they missed out on what was being offered to them. This great feast was prepared that they could have taken part in, and ultimately, because of their excuses, they didn't get to have any. Now, today, what we're doing here is a gospel message, and the aim of the gospel is to tell you of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he died on the cross to take away your sins. And just like the people we read of in our story, today you are being offered something by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in his word, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And God today, the Lord Jesus Christ today is offering you rest. He's offering you your sins to be forgiven, and he's offering you eternal life in heaven. Unfortunately, these days we see that many people make excuses for the things that are being offered to them by the Lord Jesus Christ, for the eternal life that's being offered. And just like the people in our story who made poor excuses, the excuses made by people for the gospel message don't stack up either. And they don't stack up because the Lord Jesus Christ is for everybody. And so as we go through this message today, what I would like to do is look at some common excuses that people have for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, for saying that what's being offered to them by the Lord Jesus Christ isn't in fact for them. And as we go through some of these excuses, if you're listening on this call today and you're not a Christian, I'd like to set a challenge for you to try to see whether one of these excuses is the reason that you're not a Christian. To see if one of these excuses I go through is your reason for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many excuses for rejecting the gospel message, and perhaps the ones I cover today won't be your excuse, but the outcome is the same. The Lord Jesus Christ is for everybody, and there's no excuse that's a good excuse for rejecting this message. And so excuse number one, which people may have for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, is the person that says, I'm not a bad person. I'm not a sinner. I don't need to become a Christian. And people use this excuse for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's human nature, and it's ingrained within us to think of ourselves as pretty good. And we come to the conclusion in our own lives that, you know, I might do some things which are bad, but overall, I'm a pretty good person. And I think as society, we've created our own definition of what a good person is and what a bad person is. And we've almost dreamed up this hierarchy in our head of one end of the scale where all the bad people sit and the other end of the scale where the good people sit. And what we do in our lives is we compare ourselves to those around us. And we might look at the things that our friends do. We might look at the things that our colleagues do. We might watch the news at night and we see murderers and thieves. We see Vladimir Putin declaring war on Ukraine, and we compare ourselves to all that's happening around us, and we come to the conclusion that, you know what, compared to most, I'm a pretty good person. And because I'm a pretty good person, I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. In the context of the gospel meeting, which we are holding this afternoon, the comparison that we are making and that God makes is God's standard and not society's standard. Now, God is completely righteous and completely holy, and his standard for what is good is absolute perfection and sinlessness. And so we fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to society's standards of good, but today we're looking at God's standard of good. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And when we compare ourselves to God's standard, that's the conclusion we come to. There is none righteous. That's me. God tells me in his word that I'm not righteous, and that's you. None of us are righteous. Now, if you're hearing that for the first time, that God looks at you as being unrighteous, it's normal that you might be defensive about that, and that might make you a bit angry that you're not righteous and that you're a sinner. And so to explore this a little more, we need to look at why God says we are not righteous. And Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the reason we are not righteous in God's eyes is because of the things we do called sin. Now, the consequence of sin, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the consequence of being a sinner is death. And so the excuse for rejecting the gospel of saying, I'm not a bad person, I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ, compared to society's standard of good, you probably are a good person. Compared to the people you interact with on a day-to-day basis and that you see on the news, you probably are good by society's standard. But don't fall into the trap of thinking this is good enough, because God's standard is so much higher. And God's standard is absolute sinless perfection. And none of us measure up to God's standard. And so it flows on from this that because none of us are righteous, we need somebody who's righteous to save us from our sins. And the only person that has ever walked this earth who is righteous is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of his sinless perfection, he was able to go to the cross of Calvary and pay the price for your sins and my sins. And so that's excuse number one. The person who says, I'm not a bad person, I'm not a sinner, I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says that you are a sinner, and therefore you do need the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're sitting here today and that's the reason you haven't become a Christian before, then realize that the Bible says you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Excuse number two is on the opposite end of the spectrum. And this is the person that says, I'm too bad, and I can't be saved because of the things that I've done in the past. Now, I'm in the fortunate position today of not knowing a lot of the people on this call. And because of that, I've got no idea what your past looks like. But you might be sitting on this call today thinking that your life is just an absolute mess at the moment. You might be totally ashamed of some of the things you've done in the past. You might have hurt a lot of the people that you were close to in the past. You might have broken the law. You might have even done some time in prison. You might have been involved in substance abuse. You might be thinking there that today that you just have nobody and nobody loves you. You might be unemployed. You might have mental health issues. I don't know. But you might be sitting here thinking that your life is just at rock bottom. There's nothing else that could be worse. And if you're here today thinking these things and thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't possibly save somebody like this, then I want you to just remember one thing from today's message, and that's the fact that God loves you. He loves you more than you will ever realize. He cares for you, and he wants to save you. Not only does he want to save you, he can save you. And there's not a single person in this world who's too bad to be reached by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is another excuse which just doesn't stack up when we look at the Word of God. James chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." And so whether you've been a relatively good person by society's standard or a relatively bad person, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save you. If you're sitting here today thinking your life is just a mess and you've done things that you're embarrassed of, I'll read the verse I read at the start again, Matthew chapter 11, 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let go of your past. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you. He can save you. He has the power to save and the desire to save you today. And so our first excuse is the person that says they're not a sinner and doesn't need saved. But we see that everybody is a sinner. The second excuse is the person that thinks they're too bad to be saved, that the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. And he can save you just as easily as he can save the person that thinks they're relatively good. So these excuses for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ are not good excuses. The third excuse, which is one that is, I think, very popular today, is the person who just rejects all of this by saying that it's all made up, that saying it's just a fairy tale. God isn't real. The Bible is just a book with no importance. How could you possibly believe that this world was created by a man? If God's real, how could the awful things we see happening in this world actually happen? And so this person rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel by saying, it's just not true. There seems to be a very popular school of thought these days that people will put their trust in science, and they seem to think that science is in complete opposition to what the Word of God says, but it's not. People seem to, I guess, reject the gospel and this by saying that it's only for people who can't think for themselves. People who are educated and well-informed couldn't possibly believe in something like this. How can you have faith in something you can't see? It's only for somebody with an inferior mind. It's just made up. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking like this, then I don't have the way with words to be able to convince you otherwise or the time to do so. But I would just encourage you to stop and think and question for yourself, what if it's not made up? What if God is real? What if everything that you see around you today was created by God? What if heaven and hell are real places? What if your sin is actually a problem that needs to be dealt with? Are you prepared to gamble and roll the dice on what people will tell you in this world about it all being made up? Because the consequences and ramifications of getting this wrong are massive. The Bible says in Psalm 53:1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." That's a warning specifically for you if you're saying that all of this is made up and God isn't real. And if you roll the dice on your decision to just dismiss it all as made up, then you will die as a sinner and you will go to hell to pay the price for your sins. That's how serious this is. So don't just get swept up in what the popular view is these days. Don't get swept up in what you get told at school, because the Bible is real and God is real, and you need to be prepared to meet him one day. And so this excuse of simply dismissing the gospel as made up won't do you well. Excuse number four is the person who perhaps doesn't outrightly reject the gospel, but just puts off a decision about it and postpones doing anything about it. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're sitting here thinking that this all makes a lot of sense to me, and it's something which I think I should deal with, but maybe I'll come to it tomorrow. Maybe you're young and you're sitting here thinking, I've got time on my side. This is something for adults. And once I get a bit older, maybe in a couple of years down the track, I'll come back to this and I'll do something about it. Maybe life's really busy and you're sitting here thinking, work's going to be busy for the next 2 months. Maybe once work calms down, I'll come back to this and look into it a bit further. Or maybe you're just scared to make a decision because of the consequences. I urge you today to not put off this decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the day of salvation. This is something you need to deal with today. There is a serious urgency in this message and in what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's an urgency in this message for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that life is brief and life is very fragile. It's not very nice to talk about, but the fact of the matter is that none of us know what is going to happen to us tomorrow. You know, car accidents happen, mishaps happen, medical problems arise, and the promise of tomorrow is not necessarily there for each of us. You know, I think of the young man, Jeff Bertram, who many of you will have known better than myself. He was just a 15-year-old boy when he had that accident and life was taken away from him. Nobody saw that coming. I was listening to something on the radio the other day and they were saying that each of us, one day of our life, will reach the point where our life is halfway over. None of us know when that day is. For me, it might have been 10 years ago. It might be tomorrow. It might be in 10 years. But there's a point coming when our life will end. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And that's the thought of when you go outside on a cold morning and you breathe that vapor out of your mouth, it disappears like that. That's what our life is like. And because life is so fragile and precious, you need to be prepared to meet God. So don't put off your decision about what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. This decision to postpone is not a good excuse. There's another reason that there's some urgency in this message, and that is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to come again to take Christians back to heaven one day. And that event is called the rapture. And none of us know when this is going to happen, but we do know that you need to be prepared and have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior before this happens. Mark chapter 13, verse 32 says, but of that day, this is speaking of the rapture, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only God knows when this will happen. And the Bible tells us about some things which may start happening on this earth as the rapture draws closer. And for those of us that know our Bibles, we can see these things starting to fall into place. And we don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, but we know that every time the second hand goes around on that clock, we're 1 second closer. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and you need to be prepared before this happens. The other thing related to the sense of urgency in this message is that when somebody becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes in to convict them of their sin. And the Holy Spirit will make you realize that you are a sinner. And sometimes this presents itself as almost like an uneasy feeling within yourself that you need to do something about your sin. Don't ignore this. If the Holy Spirit is working in your life today and convicting of your sin, don't put it off. Because the more times you say no to the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to do it now, this isn't for me, when you know that you're being convicted of your sins, it becomes easier to say no the next time. And it becomes easier to say no the next time. And there may come a time when God stops working in your life and you miss your chance. to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So if the Holy Spirit is working in your life today, please do something about it. Tomorrow is not promised. The Lord Jesus Christ may come again. You need to get right with God now before it gets too late. So don't use this excuse of postponing your decision as a good excuse. Another excuse people may use for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ is saying no because they're worried about the consequences. Again, maybe you're sitting here today thinking that this all sounds pretty good, but I'm really worried about what my family will say if I go and tell them that I've become a Christian. I'm really worried about how my friends will react if I tell them that I've put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm worried how I'll be treated at work. My life right now is fun. I don't want that to change. I'm scared about what I may miss out on. Now, the Christian life can be quite challenging at times. It's not going to be a walk in the park. There are some things you will sacrifice. There will be some difficulties. But I can promise you with all my heart that if you ask anybody on this call today who is a true Christian, whether they regret their decision to become a Christian, not one single person will tell you that they regret it. And in fact, quite the opposite. I can guarantee you that every person on this call will tell you it is hands down the best decision they've ever made. I know that's true in my life. There is not a better decision that I've made in my life. I don't regret it for one day. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so while there's some things in your life that will change, you'll want them to change once you're a Christian. You won't feel like you're missing out on them. And once you become a Christian, the peace that comes to you, the purpose that you have in your life, the joy that you have in your life will far outweigh any cost which it may be with you. The peace and purpose and joy that comes, you won't find it in your friends. You won't find it in your family, your job, your money, the holidays you go on, your possessions. Nothing will give you what you get from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. To wake up each morning knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven is something which nothing else can compare to. And so if you're putting off the gospel today because you're worried about the consequences, just come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior. You'll feel like a tremendous weight has been lifted off your chest, and you'll be able to come into the good of so many things that his word promises. The final excuse which some people have for accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior are those that say, it all just seems too simple. It can't be that this is all I need to do. And this is one of the great misconceptions that is out there in the world today. If you went out into the street right now and asked people, what do you need to do to get to heaven? You would get a whole range of different answers. And there's this underlying thought that something must be done by me to get to heaven. People will tell you that I need to lead a good life to get to heaven. I need to do more good than bad. I need to attend church regularly. I need to give my money to the poor. I need to be baptized. I need to read my Bible every day. I need to be a religious person. And whilst the majority of these things are great things in their own right, they have absolutely zero implication on your salvation. None of these things will see you saved. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so your excuse might be that it all just seems too simple. It is simple because the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. I want to read you two of my favorite verses in the Bible from Romans chapter 10. And really, these two verses put it much better than I have today. I could have come to this gospel meeting and read you these two verses, and that would have been enough, because this shows you how simple it is. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't reject this message because it seems too simple. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he died at the cross for you, it was the perfect sacrifice. It was all that you need. It's the only thing that you need. And in fact, if you come and say, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me and I appreciate that and that's great, but I have to do this as well and I have to do that as well, what you're in fact saying is that the Lord Jesus Christ was not enough. You're saying that that was pretty good what he did, but I have to do something. But you don't. What he did was perfect, and it's enough, and it's all that you need to be saved. He says in his word, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So don't get caught up in this great lie that is propagated by Satan that you must do something, or you must be good enough, or you must do this or that to be saved. You simply need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior. And so as we come to the conclusion of this message, I challenged you at the start that if you're not a Christian, to try to put your finger on what your excuse is for why you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It may have been one of these things that we've looked at today. It might be because you think you're not a sinner. It might be because you think that you're too bad and the Lord Jesus Christ can't reach you. It might be because you think it's made up. It might be because you don't want to do it now. You want to postpone it for later. It might be because you're scared of the consequences, or it might be because it all just seems too simple and there's something that you must do. But I hope I've shown you from God's word that these excuses are not good excuses. There is no good excuse. And there are many excuses. You may have an excuse that I haven't covered today, but the Lord Jesus Christ is for you. So by simply coming to him and admitting that you're a sinner and that there's nothing you can do on your own to be saved and asking him to save you, he will do just that. And he will love to do that. So if you're not a Christian today, I encourage you to just think about why not and realize that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save you. We might just close in a word of prayer.